Intrachier here for Discuss Your Truth. And, okay, look, I've got a slight technical glitch here, but nonetheless, today's guest awaiting Tori Jensen, RN, RD, and we're going to bring her in here right now. Look, I just returned back from the Reawaken Tour, Dallas. Clay Clark, he's got a San Diego, he's got an Oregon location, he's got a number of states now lined up. The movement is going incredibly well. What you need to know is I have recently connected Jason Fick to a congressman out of Texas, and it seems like that has gone well. And I was recently introduced to another great fighter, American freedom fighter. That would be having graced the presence and briefly. Briefly having met Marjorie Taylor Greene. Folks, I'm off to Phoenix this weekend for Turning Point USA. So let's bring in Tori, and then her lawyer will be standing by. So today's show is actually going to be followed up by another fellow at the 6 o'clock hour. So we got to get going quickly. It's going to be speaking about deep state Jesuit ties. Tori Jensen, ladies and gentlemen. Bringing in Tori right now. Again, this is Ian Trottier. This is Discussions of Truth.
Hello?
Yes, Tori, hi. Ian Trottier here for Discussions of Truth. How are you today?
Hi.
Okay, can you hear me, Tori?
Oh, thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm doing well, and I know
I can
you're.
Hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. You can't hear me.
Not very well.
Okay, not well. Okay, that's.
Now I can. Now I can.
You can hear me well now.
I can now.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. All right. So, Tori, Tori's lawyer, Dan Watkins, is standing by. We'll bring him in about 10 minutes or so. Tori, for listeners, please make an introduction, who you are and what you do.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I am a registered nurse for 10 years, and I've been working for Kaiser Permanente for the last five. And I've been a COVID nurse since day one. My telemetry floor, I used to work on a cardiac unit when it remained a cardiac unit, but it got transformed into the COVID unit. And I was let go October 28th when my religious exemption from the vaccine was denied.
Wow. Okay. And so that caught you by surprise. Do you have other coworkers that are in that same position, Tori?
I do. There's actually thousands of us, I think, in California working for Kaiser who are in this position, and other companies as well. But certain, they are accepting some religious exemptions and not others. So I feel like it's a little hard to make that distinction. Mine was not good enough for them for some reason. My answers, my book report that I wrote for them. But other people are still employed with provisional exemptions, meaning that they can change their mind at any time.
So what is the difference? What religious exemption qualifies according to them?
I don't know, because I was never able to speak with anyone from HR regarding that. So you may have heard of me because I made a video when I walked out of the hospital, kind of cataloging everything and a call to action, people to wake up.
Yeah.
What's happening? This is America. My First Amendment rights are being violated. I was there for 8 hours. I was on shift. I got the denial letter. They actually asked me to finish my shift because that would have put them short staffed. I said, absolutely not, unless you're going to reinstate me. So then I was there all day trying to get answers from HR, and they said there was no one I could talk to. I'm losing my job, but there's no one I could talk to.
So you have been, Tori, you have been dismissed. You're no longer employed by this employer?
I just received my termination letter yesterday. Actually, it's official. Now it's official.
Wow, Tori. Wow. Okay. And you have, you've obviously got a lawyer that's fighting hard for you, I'd imagine, I hope. He's certainly taken it. He's agreed to join us. We'll bring him in a moment. But talk a little bit about the thousands of nurses and likely doctors, just so that you know, Tori, I have been working lockstep with an anesthesiologist out of Minneapolis. His name is Dr. Williams, and of course I'm locked into to some degree to the American Frontline Doctors, so I'm here to help connect if I can. But talk a little bit about your associates there, people like you that are in the same boat. Are you joining forces? Are you coming together? Mention that a little bit.
Absolutely. So Dan Watkins is a lawyer here in California, and he's representing, he can speak to this better, but he's representing all different kinds of groups. So right in the beginning of this, he sort of took this on, and so I am part of the Kaiser lawsuit that we are going to file against Kaiser Permanente and a bunch of Kaiser nurses. But there's firemen, there are police, there are teachers, there are private corporations, because California is the worst. And Ian, you're out of Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if Florida's the best, California is the worst. And so we're if that now can be a standard, I don't know, just for all your listeners, I went to Florida State. I played soccer there, so I have a special place in my heart for Florida. If you're not a Florida State fan, my down. We did have a couple wins in terms of, like, this is a little bit different, but they're mandating vaccines for kids too in certain counties, and so we've had a couple wins there. They're sort of backing down, pushing their dates back. But from a healthcare perspective, there are companies that are saying, yeah, check this box,
yeah,
to say that if you want a religious exemption, literally just check a box and we won't ask you any questions because that's a violation of your First Amendment rights. But Kaiser is doubling down. They're asking us, they're sending us threatening line of questioning, asking us more than once to explain our religious beliefs even further, and then they're not giving us any answers as to why our answers aren't good enough. They're not letting us appeal. And so, I don't really understand, quite frankly, because if COVID is as bad as they say it is, wouldn't you want every COVID nurse all hands on deck?
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally blown out of proportion by the media. I've had somebody calling me today, and I got a phone call yesterday. In Mammoth, I don't know if you're familiar with that, Mammoth Lake or Mammoth Mountain, yeah. There's a community up there.
Like the best ski resort in California, Ian.
It's the best. And I'm being told that there are vaccine tents being set up and kids are being vaccinated without parental authorization. That's just what I received yesterday.
That is correct. And I don't have, and Dan actually would have more details on that because I think contacted him regarding it. But yeah, as far as I was told, this was a not even a 5-year-old. So they're mandating it for 5 years old and above, but I think this kid was under 5 years old. But they're offering like pizza parties if you get vaccinated at school. Like, oh yeah, you want some ice cream? We'll give you some ice cream. So I've been telling my kids, I'm like, listen, unless I'm standing right next to you,
yeah,
you are not getting anything. Unless your mom, I don't care what they tell you, I said, unless I'm literally standing next to you, you say, absolutely not. This is, I do not consent. And it's sad that I'm having to teach my kids that. I have a 6 and an 8-year-old. I'm like, repeat after me. I do not consent. And so I'm having to teach them that as they go to public school.
Right.
I'm nervous. We're not too far from LA. I'm nervous, like, this could bleed over in one day without me knowing about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The kids come home and they're vaccinated without, you know, by force, basically. And that's what everybody should be concerned about, is that this is Nazism. We're here, folks, and whether you like it or not, was this Aaron Williams? Is that his name? The NBC anchor that walked away because he said that this is what I'm told, that he said that this wasn't the country that he recognized. I don't know if you heard that or not, Tori, but things are changing, and so we're stepping up to the plate. Let's bring in your lawyer right now. Now I'm calling you from a Skype. And so I'm going to try to do this and add a participant. If this fails, Tori, then I'll just have you bring him in on your end. But let me go ahead and try to bring on Dan right now. Okay, so calling Tori's lawyer, Dan Watkins. And let's see. There we go. Dan, Ian Trottier here, Discussions of Truth. I've got your client, Tori Jensen, on the line. Tori, can you hear?
Yes.
Great. So I've got the both of you together. Dan, we've just spent about 10 minutes with Tori skimming the surface from her side of things. She's just notified us that she has received her termination letter within the past 24, 48 hours. Dan, what's going on here? And what can you tell listeners?
Well, there's a lot going on in California in terms of trying to repress people's rights. But as it relates to Tori, she's really one of about 1,000 people now that we have been in contact with from Kaiser, related to Kaiser, who've lost their jobs because they've expressed their sincerely held religious beliefs in opposition to the vaccine. And we're gathering those people together. Tori's going to lead the charge, and we're going to get after Kaiser and sue him for discrimination.
So Dan, in your view, as an attorney, how is it that Kaiser Permanente can be picky as to what religion they honor or not? I mean, that's how I'm viewing it. And Tori's saying they're not honoring her religious exemption, and that it sounds like they have certain parameters of what they classify and define a religion. What is that?
Yeah, I kind of lost you there, but I think I heard your question that, you know, in terms of how they're picking what is sincere and what is not, that remains to be seen. We're going to definitely dig into that in litigation. The simple fact that somebody at Kaiser reviewed Tori's request for exemption and found that she doesn't have a sincerely held religious belief tells you everything you need to know about how broken that system is. She's a godly, God-fearing woman, and there's no way that she doesn't have those beliefs. So it, I'm assuming, was put together kind of ad hoc. They didn't really have a set system. Different people reviewing these and just kind of applying their own subjective thoughts to it. And we ended up with this kind of mess that we have now.
Okay, so Dan, what's the tip of the spear for you right now? What have you got going that listeners can understand? People that might be in Tori's same position, I told Tori that I've been working closely with Dr. Aaron Williams. This is an anesthesiologist out of Minneapolis. Just so that you know, Dan, I'm also tuned into the American Frontline Doctors, having had a number of them join my show. So I'm here to help and connect some dots if I possibly can. But in your fight in California, which is, you know, that in New York are kind of the center of the beast of all this. It's a state that I certainly don't recognize. What's the tip of the spear here for you and your fight, Dan?
Well, you know, we two things we're doing here. One, we're tacking the mandates on the face. We're just going to keep filing lawsuits to show how unconstitutional they are. They don't serve the purpose. The vaccination doesn't serve the purpose in which it was intended. It doesn't stop transmission. And forcing it on people is unconstitutional. I think that is absolutely the simplest of arguments that we're now beginning to present through the courts throughout California. And there's multiple groups that are starting to push this line of thinking. It has really narrowed down to that focus, that the vaccination does not stop transmission. And if it doesn't stop transmission, it no longer serves a public health interest. And if it's not serving a public health interest, it's then a personal medical choice, and a completely different standard of review applies by the courts. And so that's really what we're trying to do now throughout the state, filing attacks to these mandates. They're all over California. There are cities, counties, public entities like California Department of Public Health, and then individual private corporations filing these or putting these mandates in place. So we have to attack it there. Simultaneously, we are providing for people like Tori who end up having their rights trampled, and now an attack against that repression of their rights by filing lawsuits. So we've organized somewhere in the range of 100 plus groups that we're preparing those individuals to get ready to file lawsuits when their rights are discriminated against. Tori's has, we filed a couple lawsuits already against some hospitals out here. And the idea is to just go after them and get some compensation for these people, and hopefully bring some light to truth in all of this, that the mandates are wrong, and that what they did to these people's religious rights is even more wrong.
Yeah, and
that's the attack.
And as if it's any of their business, you know, an employee has the right to say religion, what they define as religion anyway. It shouldn't be any business of the employers to define that for them. Tori, is Gavin Newsom now prepared to give you non-employment insurance now that Kaiser Permanente has fired you?
Well, I actually didn't ever apply for unemployment because I plan on getting employed, very soon after. And so I'm currently seeking employment now, not in the hospital setting. But, yeah, I don't think Gavin Newsom wants to give me anything, would be my guess.
Yeah, Dan, is that what's going on with the California governor? He's completely behind the vaccine. He wants everybody vaccinated?
Oh, yeah, incredibly so. So much so that there's way more than public health behind it. No question about it.
What else is behind it, behind public? Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's just take, for example, his most recent mask mandate. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's got to wear masks again indoors. There's nothing behind that other than control, first of all. And I think he's a political opportunist. And so he's going to take advantage of everything he can to advance himself politically. Behind that, though, there's got to be just an intense amount of money. We're hoping to find out a little bit about that in our lawsuit that we're going to file against the California Department of Public Health. But it's not about public health. If it were, he would recognize that the mandates don't serve the purpose they were intended, and he would back off, and he would leave it as a personal medical choice. The idea that he's got everyone wearing masks again, whether you're vaccinated or not, is an admission that it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and yet he's doubling down by having kids 5 and older be vaccinated starting in the next semester. So he's all over the map in terms of how he's applying these things, which shows that it's just about control, in my opinion. And there's definitely other factors behind it. We don't have any proof yet, but we're going to file some lawsuits to see if we can't get to the core of it.
Is this a, Tori, is this a political issue? Why hasn't, you know, maybe it's a little bit cliche at this point in time. We're coming in on 2022 now, but is this a political issue? The vaccination, has it become a political issue in your view, Tori?
I think it has become politicized. I mean, if my First Amendment rights are being violated in California, but other states, it's nobody. I just go back to the fact that this is a constitutional right, the First Amendment rights to religious freedom. I could have, my religion could be my ballpoint pen, and no one could say anything about that in America. We're not another country. I feel like that's what people get confused about. And they're using COVID as an excuse to make all kinds of changes to the law that are unlawful. It's like, oh, it's because of COVID, we had to. It's like, well, in California, really, like state lines, that's because we had to, really? And other places, like, you know, you're in Florida, it's not that way there. And so I do feel like it's political. And I you know, it's kind of the million-dollar question, like, what's the deal behind all of this?
Yeah, why has it become political? Dan, what do you think?
Well, there's other factors behind it, I'm sure, but control is the number one. You know, there's no question that the vaccination mandate is political. They're trying to remove, in terms of Governor Newsom, for sure, you know, his effort to dismantle the privileges and the rights that we have under the Constitution is ongoing. He's all over the Second Amendment, can't stand it. He wants to take away people's rights to bear arms. You know, and then association, he had no problem with telling churches they couldn't congregate, but allowing other businesses of large numbers to be open. This whole idea of the mandate in and of itself and allowing companies to make these decisions and kind of standing behind them to make these decisions about religious exemptions and not really worried about the fact that rights are being trampled on. I don't think he's a big, strong proponent of religious rights just in general. And his attack on the children, is where we know for sure that it's politicized 100%. There is no reason that any child between 5 and 15 should be vaccinated from the evidence that we have, and yet he is just jamming it down the throats of all of the citizens in the state. That's how we know it's political for sure. When he takes advantage of the kids and he goes after them, that's how we know it's political.
And are you seeing, Tori, are you seeing mothers in California rise up and fight against this?
Absolutely. It's really amazing because people say, okay, you know, we did what we were supposed to do when it was us, but why are we doing this for our kids when they're not at risk? It doesn't make any sense. And so you're getting a lot of moms and dads that are passionate about standing up for their kids' rights. Because for them, they thought, oh, it's me. But here's the other thing. Now, this is where I feel like they're trying to get us to bend a knee, too. It's because people have to work. And those of us that can't afford private school, like Gavin Newsom, we have our kids in public school. And if public school is mandating a vaccine, then that is going to put a lot of pressure on people to go ahead and get their kids vaccinated, even though they don't want to. So it all comes back again to this coercion. Like, a lot of my coworkers didn't want the vaccine, but they got it anyway just because they didn't want to deal with it. And this whole coercion theme, and I keep seeing it over and over again.
Yeah, I recently hosted a woman out of Utah. She's a parent, and she's fighting against the filth that seems to be infiltrating the education system. Has been doing that for some time, but she's honing in on something called Castle, getting away from vaccines for a minute. Castle and Common Core. And I asked her where Lisa Logan's her name, and I asked her where these are coming from, and she says they were coming from the UN. They're not coming from American entities. Are you seeing anything like that at play here, Dan? Where there are these kind of outside non-American elements creeping into your state?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not personally observing that influence directly, like seeing some outside influence coming in, but you see it in the decisions by the leaders, particularly in California. So I definitely think that there is that influence there. I just don't, and be honest, I don't have my finger on the pulse of that. But some of the decisions and the quick steps to disregard constitutional rights suggest that there are outside influences affecting the decisions of the leadership, particularly in California.
Yeah, I mean, Tori, I started the show in 2016 in Miami Beach with another epidemic that was called the Zika, and I could quickly see how a health crisis could be manipulated. Zika was a fairly benign virus, just like a 98% survival rate that is with this COVID-19. Are you seeing any outside force in your state, Tori? Anything that would lead you to think that there might be another influence at play here, whether it's whatever it may be, but something non-American?
Well, I'm just seeing the American values being degraded at all levels.
Yeah.
And I think that California kind of leads the way in that. And there's certain states that are not supporting, like, the Christian values that I grew up with, that I'm raising my kids with.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, yes. I mean, when my kids aren't allowed to talk about their faith in school, but the other kid who is not Christian is allowed to share their faith, that to me is discrimination again. And so why the censorship, why the oppression of certain values but not others? And so I am definitely seeing that for culturally, like, and a very much so in California.
And how is it that the two of you joined forces? How did you guys team up?
Oh, I'll let Dan take this one because it's amazing.
Well,
doesn't really make sense.
Well, yeah, I'll make a very long story very short. I was doing Zoom calls pretty much nonstop. The need for people to get information and understand how to protect themselves in the midst of what Newsom was doing just exploded. And so in that process, I came into contact with a couple nurses from Kaiser, and like wildfire, it grew. And so we were doing Zoom calls like crazy, and somehow Tori found her way onto that and then started communicating with this very tight-knit group of nurses that have been helping me from the beginning. Just an incredible group and we're just going to get God with you here. There's no chance this comes together without his divine intervention to help me and to help each other. And so we came together and they started talking to Tori. And then, of course, she had that moment where she was denied her exemption. It just blew her mind. And she put that video together and we saw her on the Instagram. And I called the nurses and said, we got to get her. And they reached out. They had already chatted a little bit with her. And she was on board and a perfect fit. And it just happened. It's very, very godlike. He's putting it all together. But she's an amazing force, and she's going to be a strong advocate for this case and a real strong advocate for people's rights in California. So we're super happy that it lined up like it did.
So Dan, as we take a few more minutes of your time, and I'll hang up on you and finish with Tori, just so that we've got you still on the line, Dan, tell listeners exactly what the case is and who you're, again, repeat, who you're suing. And then any information that you want listeners to know about this?
Well, yeah, so the case is actually pretty simple. In California and throughout the United States, you're allowed to have religious beliefs, and you're allowed to hold those sincerely. And when those beliefs come into conflict with a work requirement, you're allowed to express that conflict to the work, to your boss. And as long as you put them on notice, they have to then determine whether or not they can accommodate that request. And it can be everything from headgears to facial wear to, you know, to facial hair and those types of things. And so it's a pretty simple process. Somebody expresses their values, they express the conflict, and then the employer has the obligation to see if there's a reasonable accommodation. And in this case, they've looked at the expression of religious values, and for it, in Kaiser's instance, over 1,000 people were told that they weren't sincere enough to consider for the purposes of an accommodation, and they were fired. And you know, we're going to go after for that, because the simple fact is the accommodation is super simple. We've been doing it in healthcare in California since the beginning of COVID, wearing masks, social distancing, daily health screenings. Tori and all the nurses and other healthcare professionals we've been working with in California, they did this in the midst of COVID when it first started, and no one knew how dangerous it was or not dangerous. And those same accommodations can apply today. So we're going to go after them for choosing to say that they're not going to value those religious rights. They're going to hold the vaccination requirement higher than their religious values and get rid of them. And so we're going to go after Kaiser for that. You know, and the one thing that I would say, just, it's, I think it's super important, because we are definitely in an oppressive state here. There's so many, every turn they're after you. It's unbelievable. The rights that we treasure under the Constitution are being trampled here. But the one thing that's really come about in all of this is I'm sensing a revival of spiritual hope and a revival of constitutional hope in California. You know, we talked a little bit about Newsom's mandate against the kids, and I'm hoping that becomes the third rail for him. Because that really woke people up, lots of people, people in the middle of the aisle, people even on the left. When you start looking at the kids, the safest demographic in the country, and are saying you're going to vaccinate them for no real reason, people are waking up. And so there is a surge of energy, a surge of revival, both on a spiritual level and I think on a constitutional level in California. And boy, do we need it here. And so I would just reach out and unashamedly ask for prayer for this state, for the people that are standing bold like Tori, and saying, you know, my rights matter, my constitutional rights matter, my religious values matter, and that we can use prayer from across the country, because this is a God-like fight. We need a God-like victory, and we're really turning it over to Him. And I believe that if we're obedient to that, He's going to do something that's going to be great. So I have a ton of hope, actually, despite the oppression that's here. And I hope that people can look at California and say, hey, you know what, we need to pray for them. These people are going to fight hard, and we believe in what they believe, and get behind us with that, because there's victory here to be had. We got to get it to God.
We'll finish up with Tori, but Dan, I want you to have an opportunity to leave listeners with some final thoughts, and maybe you want to give out a website or contact info. That's totally up to you. But take a moment before we hang up with you, sir, to leave listeners with some final words.
Yeah, I think, Ian, it's just what I said. You know, this is a great country, and the Constitution is the best legal document written in the history of time. It puts the power in the hands of the people. And right now we're seeing a power grab at political levels across the country, but in particular California, to take away those rights. And there's a lot of great patriots standing up to fight, and we just need support. Financial support would be super helpful. It's going to cost $1 million probably in cost for the people in Kaiser Case alone, and we've got another 4,000 or 5,000 statewide that we're fighting for. There's a website that could go to. It's voicesforchoice.us. That's voices, the number 4, choice.us. They can put their information in there, and they can get contact. There's contact information for us there as well if they want to reach out and help, and we'd be happy to discuss that type of assistance from anyone that's out there. But again, I want to leave the message of hope and then just the request of prayer. I don't think there's anything more powerful than those two things and what we're all about.
Thanks, Dan. Tori, and Dan, you can stay on. It's up to you. Tori, tell listeners a little bit more about what you feel is happening to your country, as Dan has just mentioned.
Yeah, I grew up in a very conservative Christian home. My dad was he's a retired colonel in the Air Force. And at dinner, we used to talk about communism.
Interesting.
My dad fought in the Cold War, and I used to roll my eyes, but I was listening. And so I just can't believe that I live in a country right now, the America that I'm living in, that I would lose my job because of my religious beliefs. That is the most un-American thing that I can think of. And it, when you look at, I've been educated a lot about history and how certain countries have gone towards socialism and communism. And the first thing to go is religious freedom.
Interesting.
Because people with religious convictions stand up to the government and say, I actually don't answer to you. I answer to God, to a higher power. So it is absolutely important to protect religious freedom for you and also for your kids and your grandkids if you want to see our country continue to be a country where you can come and be anything you want to be in the land of opportunity. That was the promise that we had. And even if you're not a religious person, you need to get behind religious freedom and support and protect it, because that will ensure that you are protecting your American Constitution First Amendment rights.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why the Mayflower left Dartmouth or England, was seeking religious freedom and the establishment to do so. Tori, is that website that Dan just mentioned the same website that you have? Is there a different website you'd like to mention?
So I originally established a website. It's called walkstairs.com, and that is for people to contact me with their stories, people that have been displaced. I'm trying to get them resources all over the country. We have a job board for companies that are not mandating vaccines, so I kind of try to give those information out. But the message of Walkstairs is, at the end of my shift that day, I walked the 7 flights of the parking garage to my car, like I do every day. And because early on in COVID, I had a really bad shift, and God told me to walk the stairs instead of take the elevator. When I get to the top, He said, you walk the stairs every day after your shift to remind you that this place can't break you. And I think it's so symbolic. Little did I know that months later I'd be walking the stairs with a security guard escorting me out, saying that, listen, this matters. What I'm doing, I'm losing everything to stand up for my freedom. It matters. And so when you are faced with whether you're going to do the easy thing and take the elevator, or you're going to stand up for what you believe in and walk the stairs, I hope you walk the stairs.
Yeah, well said. How large is your movement, Tori? And also, have you worked and been connected to the L.A. County Freedom Fighters, firefighters? John Knox, I think, is the guy that's running that. So how large is your particular movement, and then have you been connected to them?
So my movement is, I actually don't even know how big my movement is. It's, but not so much me personally, but there's a group of us here in Southern California who are actually putting on a revival. It's called Freedom Revival, and you can follow that at freedomrevival.org. And so we're hoping that rather than see this as a terrible thing happening, that we can take what is all the people that are being displaced and all of the things that are happening and raise some hope and turn people back to the goodness of God and turn people back to the values that were established at the beginning of our country. And so it's a small community. You know, we run into the same people all the time at all the different rallies because Southern California is being impacted the most. And so we are all kind of there for each other. And we're all in the same fight. And so it's pretty powerful. And, you know, it's coming with mostly like young people, 20s, 30s, 40s. And so it's just this big, incredible movement where people are standing up and saying, you know what, we don't like the way things are going and we're going to take a stand.
Yeah. And that's nice to hear. What about John Knox? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yeah, he's the Firefighters for Freedom guy. I don't know him personally, but we run in small circles. Have you interviewed him?
Yes, he's been on the show, and I'd be happy to make that connection for you.
Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, the other connection that might be prudent, just because it is a national movement, international as well, and it is astonishing that we've allowed. We've allowed our country to get to this point, but here we are, and we're dealing with it. There's a coalition out of Orlando, Florida, that is head up by some great patriotic firefighters as well, and they've got healthcare people joining them as well. So I'll make both of those introductions for you, Tori, I look forward to keeping up with the work that you're doing. And take a moment, please, to extend some final thoughts and words. Again, just another opportunity for you to do that for people listening. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider, right? There's a lot of things to consider. People straddling the fence, not sure what to do, maybe considering a vaccine, not a vaccine. Maybe they're standing up to religious exemptions, not sure. Some final thoughts, Tori.
Yeah, well, thank you again for having me. I just really hope that people look at what's important to them because the vaccine mandate might not be affecting you at this time. Maybe you got vaccinated or you don't need to get vaccinated. It's not a big deal to you. And so you're not thinking about it. You're thinking it's someone else's problem. But what's the next thing that they are going to mandate? And maybe you're going to care about that one. And then what are you going to do? So in off the couch, like getting into the game and getting out there and saying, you know what? I'm going to go to my school board meeting or I'm going to go to my city council meeting and I am going to get involved because no one else is going to do it but us. So I'm talking to you, that person listening. You need to get involved. Someone told me that months ago and I prayed, God, I want to get involved. Little did I know it would be this way. But I feel absolutely like it is everyone's responsibility to stand up for what they believe in. And even if you disagree with what I'm doing, that I'm asking you to stand up for what you believe in because it matters. Because when we have people standing up for what we believe in, our country is going to unite. And we are going to see that we actually have more in common than disagreements. And I think that's what's going to unify us and turn the tide.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tori Jensen, RNRD, fighting for your rights in Southern California. Tori, thank you for joining the show. I look forward to keeping update with you.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, right there. It's people like Tori, folks, ladies and gentlemen. It's people like Tori. I mean, if you look at Dr. Simone Gold, and this is the only reason I'm mentioning Dr. Simone. I think it was 2 years ago this February that I, this coming February, I had on Clifford Jones, a Harvard-educated medical doctor practicing in Toronto. He has hundreds of thousands of people that follow his newsletter. I asked him, I says, look, this virus is fairly benign. I lived through another one on a very micro scale, not a global scale, in Miami Beach in 2016. He says, Ian, by my research as a guy, it's 96. And at 92, he scaled a skyscraper. He says, Vitamin C taken intravenously will kill any virus, to his knowledge. A couple months later, Simone Gold comes talking out against for hydroxychloroquine, and now there are thousands and thousands of doctors, i.e., Dr. Peter McCullough, 51 peer-reviewed, published papers. This guy's no slouch, and now he's coming out. He's not only coming out and saying that the vaccines don't work, that they're not vaccines by definition. He's not the first. Tenpenny's been saying this for a long time. Mikovits, Drew Mikovits. But he says that that they're engineered in the lab. They're not even, it's not even a natural occurring phenomena. This is what's happening, folks. America is standing up. We are uniting. We are collecting. We're standing up because we see the writing on the wall. And it's just simply gone too far. It's simply gone too far. You cannot allow a major multi-billion dollar company like Kaiser Permanente to define an employee's religion. They've overstepped their bounds. That's not even remotely their area of judgment. Not even remotely. And we see, it's just like an airline attendant. You know, I mean, this is what I had done a couple weeks ago with Mike Adams. If you haven't watched that, it's on Rumble. It's the videos on Rumble. Put your search query in for Ian Trottier, Frontier Airlines. You're going to find this report by Mike. There was a man and his family taken off an airline because he was simply having a conversation about not wearing masks. This is tyranny. This is absolutely tyranny, and so we're facing it. We're facing it head on, with a tank full of steam, and it's working. So thank goodness to people like Tori and Dan, and you can rest assured. Should you be hearing this, I will put them in contact and touch with whoever I need to that they think will be a nice connection for them, an asset for them. That includes John Knox and LA Freedom Fighters, and that's not the name of his organization. I don't think it was, but I'll have to go back and look at that. So coming up this weekend, folks, I'll be in Phoenix for the Turning Point USA, and so this will bridge the gap. This next discussion that I'll be bringing in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I will be bridging the gap. What is the deep state? What is this mechanical power that seems to have infiltrated, this foreign mechanical power that seems to have infiltrated the United States? Okay, I mean, Dan said it. These people are being influenced by something. Tori even said it. Tori's having talks with her military father, the father with a military background, talking about communism as a child growing up. It's here. Folks, it's here. Don't think it's not. It's here. This is it. This is exactly what is here. And more case to point before I end this, stopcommunism.net was a website that I created while literally I was standing on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C., in December of 2020. And I thought, what is going on here? I was actually trying to get into the office of Ted Cruz. I had been speaking with the scheduler. We were trying to make schedule work. And I thought, what is going on? And I thought, this is it. That's it. This is communism. It dawned on me then. And thank goodness it did. It dawned on me then. So I came up to the website called stopcommunism.net. I put that up. I published it. 10 days later, it was taken down. 10 days later, it was taken down. And 90% of my websites on that host have been taken down. Censorship. So if you do not think this is communism, I urge you to read the book, read one of the books by Servando Gonzalez, the University of Havana educated, a Cuban-born historian living in the United States now. And he says that what happened in Cuba is planned to happen in the United States. We're seeing that happen right now. We're seeing it roll out right now. So until next time, folks, and I'll be right back with the folks to talk, a man to talk about. Talk about the deep state and get that name for you right now, because it is very important for you to know. Harry Katz, Harrison Katz, will be joining me in about 10 minutes. Be awesome.